Hope everyone is having a good start to the beginning of your new year. We are blessed to be here this evening and be able to study our Bibles together as we reflect for a few moments together from the Scriptures. We're going to be looking at a few verses from the book of Matthew chapter 13. One of the parables that Jesus told is the parable of the mustard seed. And in it, he explains the great potential for growth and expansion of the church and what should be expected. This, of course, was before the kingdom was even established that he had spoken these words, but he was telling them a number of things that were related to what was to be just a short time away from them. He had begun the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, as is said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, after the temptation that he had faced from Satan. And this continual preaching was revealing certain things. We just, in the earlier verses of chapter 13, could see the parable of the sower beginning in verse 18, and the fact of the matter that God's word is like a seed sown in the hearts of men, and that it will bring forth according to whatever type of soil or heart that it finds. But the point that he makes then in verse 31 is that God's word is powerful, and what it's going to accomplish in the world is something very remarkable. So look at verse 31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." So here is a picture of another sort of agricultural parable that Jesus brings forth, things that the people were very familiar with, and one that would clearly help them to understand something about the nature of this coming kingdom. Now, the kingdom was something they didn't fully understand because they had misconceptions about the nature of it. But nonetheless, Jesus was going to help them know that when the kingdom came, and as they would begin to understand its nature, here's something very important, he said. It's like something very small that you are very familiar with, the mustard seed. So the seeds that people used during those times, they knew very well. You know, we ourselves today know certain seeds. Everybody knows what a corn seed looks like, or maybe the seed of a certain type of bean that you grow in your garden. And these we know, but the mustard seed, very small from what Jesus says, is something that they understand, you know, what it looks like not only when you put it into the ground, but what it looks like when it's grown. And he says, yeah, we see these and we know it's large. And he says it's to the point that it's like a tree that the birds, and they come and they nest in its branches, substantial in size. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this. Now, he says a man takes and he sows in the field. Well, so we are those who today go forth and we sow this seed. So it may begin small. All you're doing is talking to your neighbors, maybe some people at work. But think of the potential and the power of the gospel. I've heard of stories that were told of certain gospel preachers who were, you know, their family was not even members of the church. The gospel was taken to a certain woman who then she obeyed the gospel, and her son then obeyed the gospel, and he became a great preacher of the gospel, who then many people, as a result of his efforts, were led to the truth. You never know the potential for just speaking the word of God to a person that you may live next door to, a person that you work with, a person you go to school with, a person that you may meet that you don't even know, but you invite them to services. God's word is not an insignificant thing. It is powerful. Now, it's going to touch, again, different types of hearts. And some people reject it outright. Some people will think about it, but nah, there's other things that are going to take the place of it. But there are those who will hear it and who will latch onto it. It's what transforms their lives. It's what then they live for every day. And it has the power to do great things. And when you think of this in just a single person scale, then it doesn't seem very large. But when you think about the fact that when Christians everywhere all over the world take the Great Commission seriously, and we all individually think about I can take the message to other people. I can do that. In fact, we have to do that. That's our responsibility. And when we do that, collectively, all across the world, think about what is going to happen to the world. Think about our own nation and the things that we are so concerned about because of the moral direction that it's going, the religious direction that it's going, all of the different things that are happening. But the potential for transformation is still present. As long as we use what God has given us, the power of His Word, to sow in the hearts of people, look at what can happen. God's Word can grow and become great. He tells another parable that gives the same basic concept in verse 33, the parable of the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So God's Word spreads and grows. But sometimes we don't let it do its work. It's supposed to be within us and spread to others. But what if I'm silent? What if I don't say anything? How's anything going to happen? But what's supposed to happen is God's Word so affects my life and my hope, and I'm filled with passion and joy, and I can't help but tell other people about it because I know people are lost, because I know how much good it's done for my life, that then it does what it will do. As it says here, it will touch other people like leaven. It will spread. And when it spreads to one person, it'll spread to another person from them, and on it grows and it goes till it has gone throughout and done great good. Now, we know that even though the gospel, let's say it spreads throughout all of Blount County, doesn't mean every single person in Blount County is going to obey the gospel, but it's going to touch the hearts of people throughout it, and it's going to transform many lives. Because that's the power of the gospel. It will not return to God void because it has that inherent, innate power to make people different people, saved people. People that are of darkness, it can make them of light. People who have lived for self and to gratify themselves with the pleasures of sin can make people see, I'm going to live separately from that. By their own choice, they put that away from them, and they become a holy, sanctified, God-fearing, living for God sort of people. This is the power of the seed, of the leaven, the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom is like leaven. The kingdom of God is within us. We must, as God's people, make sure that the kingdom of God fills this earth, and we start with those around us who we can influence for Him. Remember, the kingdom belongs to the King, and the King is the one who came into this world and shed His blood for us. The King is the one who didn't consider it a thing to be grasped, held on to, equality with God. He let go of it, and He became like us to save us. And we have now within us an understanding that we need to help others to see. That is, we're all lost until we lay hold of what God gives us. And it's only accessible through Jesus Christ. As you reflect upon your own life tonight, are you outside of the gospel of, or outside of the kingdom of God? Have you not yet become a part of that which is where the saved are? Because the saved are within the kingdom, within the church, within the body of Christ, and not outside of it. And the confusion that exists in the world today is sad because many who believe they're saved are lost. But we can help to change that if we will allow our understanding of the truth concerning the kingdom to spread like leaven. Grow like a mustard seed so that people can see the truth and lay hold of the true hope in the church that we are blessed to be a part of. Many of you have left denominationalism behind yourselves, and what a change it has made to your own lives and to the lives of your children and your grandchildren. But others need that as well, and we can make the difference in their lives. As we reflect upon our need, let's think about what Christ has made possible: salvation, forgiveness of sins, through His blood, right? How do you access that? It begins with belief, as we always teach. Belief in the Son of God, turning away from a life of sin, acknowledging our faith, confessing it, our faith in Christ, and then being baptized. The submersion in water is a likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's where we access the blood of Christ. It's where, like Saul was told by Ananias, our sins will be washed away. And if we comply with the command, we'll be added by God to the church. We'll be a part of that kingdom and can be a part of the greatest work in all the world. Are you a child of God tonight, but maybe have drifted or have wandered, or perhaps the zeal has sort of drifted or faded from your life? It's not right for that to happen, and we need to rekindle it. Whatever your needs are, the Lord can meet them tonight. If you need to come, we'll help you as we stand and sing.